Well, welcome to the first of our Christmas services here at Stoke Green Baptist Church. Also at the end of this service this morning, we're going to take our December communion. So you may want to prepare for that, get yourself the elements of bread and wine so that we can celebrate that at the end of the service. So you may want to pause the video in order to facilitate that. Well, I've come out to the village of Lavenham this morning, and I want to point your attention to the house directly behind me. In this house lived a poet called Jane Taylor in the late 1700s. And she wrote one of our most well-known nursery rhymes. You might think it's Humpty Dumpty, but it isn't. It's Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Is there anyone who's never heard of that? Well, just goes to show what happens locally that we don't know about. But I want to think about the shepherds this morning who were there at the birth of Jesus, out in those fields at night, watching over their flocks, and no doubt very familiar with the stars in the sky, probably only having the stars and the moon, really, for light and for company. Yeah, we often think of the star in association with the wise men who came to the birth of Jesus, but just think about those shepherds as they were out in the fields at night watching over their sheep. Well, let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this Christmas time that is fast approaching. We thank you that you, Lord God, are the one who put the sun, the moon, and the stars where they are. That you placed us on this actually tiny little planet in a vast universe. And yet you're interested in each one of us as we approach this Christmas time. And we come to think how you, Lord Jesus, the creator of the world, came into our world. This seemingly insignificant place was not insignificant to you, and neither are we insignificant to you, because you came to be our saviour and our redeemer. And so, Lord, just help us in our Christmas reflections this year. In Jesus' name, amen. As we head towards the end of 2020, I'm sure many people will be happy to see the back of it. Certainly, the promise of a vaccination to prevent significant further spread of the virus that we've all lived with in this past year will hopefully start to lift people's spirits going forward and turn some of our fears to hope for the future. But of course, even if we're able to resume some degree of normality in the months to come, there is still much uncertainty surrounding 2021. And then throw into the mix the effects of Brexit and continuing climate change. It's a heady cocktail of uncertainty. We all prefer a degree of security, but it seems that we will once again be heading for a roller coaster ride in next year. Hopefully before long we'll be able to get back to meeting together in Stoke Green. And I'm certainly praying for that, and I hope that you too share a real hunger for that. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. But this morning, in our mind's eye, I want to transport us to the hills surrounding Bethlehem 2,000 years ago to visit some shepherds there looking after their flocks at night, to see how their fears were turned to joy and the impact that their experience can have on our own experience as we move forward. But before we do that, let's spend some time in worship with Di and the team. And I think we're going to be lighting also our third Advent candle.
Morning, Ian. Yes, indeed we are. But before we do that, we have an exciting announcement. Unless the government guidelines change, we will be having some open air carol singing next Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, down at the church. For 3/4 of an hour, we will spend socially distanced time together, singing together as a fellowship, live. It's essential that you book with Michael before Thursday, so that your household can be booked its own socially distanced plot. And as you might imagine, there will be strict socially distanced terms and conditions, including wearing face masks when you're not singing and bringing your own garden chairs if needed. But it's an opportunity to be at church, if not in it, to worship together musically. So do get in touch with Michael if you're interested in coming down and having a jolly good sing. But back to this morning and the Advent candle. It was somewhat convoluted getting the recording done this week, but we prevailed, and I'm delighted that Sandy and Pete are going to be leading our thoughts today.
Today we relight the first two candles of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope and the candle of peace. Now we light the third candle of Advent. This is the candle of joy. As the coming of Jesus our Saviour draws nearer, our joy builds with our anticipation of his birth. From the book of Isaiah, we read the words of our Lord.
Isaiah 65, verse 18. Be glad, rejoice forever in my creation. Look, I will recreate Jerusalem as a place of happiness, and her people shall be a joy.
From the New Testament, the words of Paul to the people of the church at Galatia.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit.
Joy is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at these candles, we celebrate the hope, the peace, and the joy we find in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. O Lord, we rejoice that you are always with us, and we thank you, God, for the joy you give us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will. Help us to live and serve you in such a way that we help others know the joy only you can bring. Amen.
Thank you both. It was lovely to be able to get you involved. Our first carol this morning was actually broadcast at 5 p.m. last Saturday. The Ipswich Noel is a version of Chris Tomlin's song, which has been put together by St Augustine's Church with contributors from churches across our town. There may be several faces you know from different fellowships, but there are certainly three people singing that you definitely know. And so we worship and sing, Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. The story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us, Noel.
others. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. And he will be called Emmanuel, God with us.
Our reading then is from Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thinking about fear this Christmas season, was it actually any different 2,000 years ago? These shepherds had so much to worry about. As shepherds, their job was considered the lowest of the low. Working with animals as they did left them unclean for worship in the temple. And they probably lived on a very low income, struggling to find enough money to feed their families. Becoming a shepherd was probably amongst the last jobs that anyone would want to do. And many former convicted criminals turned to shepherding as a way to try to make ends meet. And then they would have had fears for their flocks. They had to protect them from thieves and wild animals. Alongside all of this, there was the worry of the Roman army marching up and down the land, imposing their will on the masses and collecting taxes at every opportunity. They crucified anyone who stepped out of line. And if that wasn't bad enough, there was Herod the king, who cruelly put to death anyone who got in his way, including members of his own family. The dominant mood in the nation was surely one of fear. So this comparison between our present circumstances and the conditions that first century shepherds lived in really just goes to show to us that we haven't really made much progress, have we, as humanity? Greed, violence, selfishness, and fear remain to this day. I looked up the definition of fear, just so we can nail what we're talking about. Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain. Whether the threat is real or imagined, it is the condition of being afraid. I wonder, what are your fear levels like at the end of 2020? Imagine the scene then for these shepherds out in the pitch black darkness of the night. Not even a gentle glow coming off of Bethlehem in those days. No street illumination. Perhaps just a few flickering lights of oil lamps. And then the stars in the sky. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, boom, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? The appearance of the angel must have scared the living daylights out of them. They must have been like startled rabbits in the headlights. And surely they must have feared the worst. They had their own fears before this, but now imagine seeing an angel. They must have feared for their very lives. And yet this angel had something incredible to say to them. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Instead of a death sentence, this glorious being was offering good news. This was an angel of grace and mercy and hope appearing to humble shepherds. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people today in the town of David. Down there in Bethlehem, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, yet literally lying in a feeding trough for animals. You know, the words fear or do not be afraid appear 365 times in the Bible. One for each day of the year. And I believe that the same God who appeared through the angel to the shepherds, that same God wants to drive away our fears moving forward. Yes, I know there is so much that is out of our control, but I believe that he wants to say to us, "Fear not, my grace is sufficient for you. I've got it. I'm in control. Align yourself with me, and together we'll get through this." Well, I'm here now at the magnificent parish church of St. Peter and St. Paul here in Lavenham. This church is really quite out of proportion for a village of this size, but of course it was built on the back of the wool trade. In fact, Lavenham was one of the 20 richest villages in England in its day, and paid more taxes than the cities of York or Lincoln. Its money came through the wool trade in the 15th and the 16th century, and really its prosperity only came to an end when some Dutch people came into Colchester and started undercutting the trade in the wool for a finer quality of wool. So you just never know, do you, what's around the corner. And actually, because Lavenham was no longer as prosperous as it once had been, people couldn't afford to knock down their houses and build newer ones. And so they preserved the Tudor houses instead of building newer ones. And we're all grateful for that today. Well, let's get back to our passage. What reason is given to the shepherds not to fear? The reason is that a saviour has been born, a deliverer, a rescuer, not from the Romans or from Herod, as they might have assumed, but rather someone who was adequate to deliver them, and indeed to deliver us, from the ultimate threat or danger that every one of us faces. And that is the fear of death itself. This little baby is the long-promised Messiah. Do you know that the biggest danger for any one of us is for the consequences of our sin to be brought to bear on us? Our sin threatens to lock us out from the presence of an eternal, holy God for eternity. And that is utter darkness. But here is the wonderful message of Christmas. This baby was and is good news for a despairing world. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus is the light of the world. He has come to turn things around, to give us hope and purpose and peace and the security of a fantastic future to come, where all fear will be banished forever. He came to this world for the express purpose of dying on that cross to take the judgment of our sin upon himself. And for our part, we simply need to admit our sin, to admit our need of him as our saviour, and then to submit to his wonderful authority in our lives. His peace, his joy, his hope can be ours. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, a great company of angels appeared with the first angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Those on whom his favor rests, and his favor rests on all who will come to him in repentance and faith. The shepherds need no further prompting. They hurry off to Bethlehem to see the child and find things just as they have been told by the angel. The good news was true, and they couldn't contain their excitement and joy, and they went out and they spread that good news of Jesus. They returned glorifying and praising God for the hope he had just planted in their hearts. Their fear had turned to joy. And I believe that this Christmas time, this is exactly what Jesus wants for you and for me. He is still the only hope for a despairing, fearful world. He wants you to know the joy that can come when you admit your sin, when you own him as Saviour. And he wants to offer you that peace and that hope going forward. Good news. Good news. Now, this joy that we can have is not to be a one-off event, but our continuing experience going forward as Christians, no matter what life throws at us. Tomorrow, we might still have a hospital appointment, or a job interview, or even a COVID test to face. But if he is our Saviour, he will be with us in it. And we know that no matter what this world throws at us, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the ultimate outcome is secure. An identifying mark of being a Christian is surely that we are not petrified with fear, but that we know his presence, his joy, even in the midst of trials. Think about it. For these shepherds, had Herod gone away? No. Had the Romans withdrawn? Had their wages gone up? I doubt it. Were their sheep any safer from predators? No. Were they still looked down on by others? Almost certainly. But they realized this one thing. They were valued by God. They were valued by God enough for him to send angels to them to give them hope, and enough for him to send his son Jesus to be their saviour. And so they could carry on with their tough lives in the sure and the certain knowledge that their ultimate rescuer had been born. He was with them. And if we invite him today, he will be with us 365 days of the year. His desire is to carry us through. Some years ago, Marks and Spencers had an advertising campaign. It started with the rather proud boast, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without M&S. Well, we might be without Woolies these days, and maybe even Debenhams. But actually, if you take the M&S off of Christmas, actually, without M&S, you are left with what? You are left with Christ. And actually, as the shepherds discovered, if you have found Jesus Christ, you have found everything that is really worth finding. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Christ. Have you discovered this good news, this joy at the heart of Christmas? Have you discovered the secret of turning fear into joy through him. God bless you.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, you gave the most precious gift that any of us could ever ask for, the possibility of a relationship with you that will last for eternity. The same gift given for every single one of us, if only we choose to unwrap it.
Together now for our Christmas communion. We've already seen angels appearing to shepherds out in the field, and now I want to think about an angel appearing to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." all this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, there it is again, that phrase, that same phrase that we had with the shepherds. Do not be afraid. Well, for Joseph, there were lots of bewildering circumstances going on, weren't there? He was pledged to be married to this woman, and suddenly he finds that she's expecting a child, and he certainly hadn't lived with her up to that point, so he knew it wasn't his child. Of course, he was contemplating cutting off all relationship with her. It says that he planned to divorce her. Well, the pledge to be married, the engagement, was a much more binding thing than it is in our nation. So he was already sort of contractually obliged to her, and he was intending to cut that off. But the angel says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take this woman as your wife. And that ultimately is what he chose to do. And the most remarkable thing that the angel said was who this Jesus would be and what he would achieve. Emmanuel, God with us. God come to dwell with us. God come to save humanity. Indeed, he said, he will save his people from their sin. Lots of people think of Jesus as a good moral example, a good teacher, someone to follow. But the key thing about this baby born in Bethlehem was that he was already destined to die, that he had come to be our saviour and our redeemer. And that's what we celebrate now as we take of this bread and this wine, as we remember that he came to be the sacrifice for our sin. So if you're believing that Jesus died on that cross for you to remove the judgment, the punishment of your sin, if you see him as your saviour and Lord, we invite you this morning to take of the bread and the wine in remembrance of him. So let's eat the bread together and give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the body of Jesus that this bread represents, that you, Lord Jesus, were willing to come to be contracted to a span, to be that tiny little baby. You, the creator of the world, came to be our saviour and our redeemer. And so we eat this bread and give thanks. And so we come to the cup. He offered his body and he allowed for his blood to be shed. Because without the shedding of the blood of the precious lamb, the perfect spotless lamb that was Jesus, there was no forgiveness of sin. So we drink in remembrance of him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to be that sacrifice. We love the wonder of the birth of the Saviour. We rejoice in that today and in these
next couple of weeks. Lord, we just ask that we will, in the midst of all the parties and the trimming and the presents and everything that goes on, I know our parties will be limited this year, but in the midst of the festivities, help us to remember the reason for this time of year, for this season of the year. But we thank you that the birth was only so that he could be here to die, that he came recognizing the price that he had to pay. So thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to step out of the glory and to become that little babe with that express purpose of going to the cross. And so, Lord, just help us in the busyness of the coming week and everything that's going on at this time of year to keep you to the forefront of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final song today tells the whole story that Ian has just been praying about. It's a more modern Christmas song with a very well-known tune, and it's a song that is already loved by many of you, but perhaps loved most of all by Doreen and Alice. I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still, every breath you drew was hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah for the precious gift of your Son in his birth and death and resurrection. We worship you now with our hallelujahs.
Thank you. to drive the night.